From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather forecast. Today, mostly sunny, a high near 72. Tonight, chance of showers and 47 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny and 73. And Wednesday, a chance of showers and 68 degrees. And yes, looking out into the weekend, a brief glimpse of the forecast. Sunny and 90 expected for Saturday. 65 degrees now, KQEN News Time, 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. We begin another week of Inside Douglas County programs, this time checking in with State Representative Gary Leaf. Gary, good afternoon. Thanks for being on.
Hey, thanks, Kyle. I'm really glad to be on your show today. I feel like this should be like a Zoom meeting because it seems like that's all I'm on lately.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say a lot of that going on, and certainly as a lawmaker, you're doing a lot of that throughout the day, probably 7 days a week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, I feel like we're really at a critical transition in this ongoing virus response. You know, our medical teams, they've done an outstanding job, and I believe the medical emergency has peaked, and I think we have the correct treatment and prevention protocols in place. If you think about it, I think in over 2 weeks, Douglas County has only had one new case, zero deaths. But I'm really becoming very concerned that we are running the risk of an economic pandemic that could be as bad or worse than the virus itself. And I think if we're really not able to restart our economy quickly, then I fear the cure may be as bad as the virus that we've been fighting. I was glad to see the governor release her preliminary plans for restarting, but I'm concerned that it may be a little too late and too little. You saw the people up in Salem this weekend asking to open up Oregon. I mean, there's a lot of real concern about, you know, how we're going to open up, when we're going to open up, and what the challenges are going to be in the economic part of this.
What are you hearing from folks as they contact you related to that area of conversation?
You know, I put a Facebook post out there, and I added up there were 98% of the people were saying, let's open up, and maybe 2% or just under 2% were saying, no, we want to keep it closed. So I'm really not understanding why certain sectors, my post was, you know, on camping and fishing and crabbing, the people that could do social distancing, OHVers, you know, all that kind of stuff that wouldn't be in crowds, but only with their family. And I thought it was a great post because it really showed the picture was a difference of between why is this allowed at Walmart, but I can't go camping with my family, you know, any intervention with other people. And it was a good post. And like I said, 98% of the people were in support of it. 2% weren't.
Do you feel like that it's kind of shifted much more that direction in the past week?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Have you been out on the roads lately? You know, 3-4 weeks ago, I could get across town in just nothing flat. And now all of a sudden there's a lot of cars and a lot more traffic going on. I stop into stores. I ask them how they're doing. And people are saying, you know, we're almost back where we were before. And that's obviously the ones that are open. You still have restaurants that are closed, and you still have, you know, bars closed and a lot of those things.
What about the legislature and the potential for a special session? Any new words on that?
You know, I haven't received any specific information regarding a special session. I got an email and a follow-up today that talked about what dates were available at the end of this month. At the end of this month, we have legislative days scheduled, and I think they're going to try and during that time, but I don't have anything specific. And although the governor has now indicated a need for a session to look at the projected like economic impacts from the stay-at-home orders, We did receive notification of like our committee assignments, and I'm pleased with my four committee assignments. Like, I'm still on the Ways and Means Public Safety Subcommittee. I'm still on the Ways and Means Transportation Subcommittee. I'm still the vice chair of the Water Committee. And I just got appointed to my fourth committee, which is Human Resources Committee, and where I'll be overseeing DHS, things like Oregon's foster care system, child welfare, housing needs. And these are big concerns of mine, and especially in Southern Oregon. So I'm real pleased about that. But as of now, we don't have a specific date on the special session, but I think it's coming.
Is it unusual to get an additional committee assignment at this point in between things?
I think so. You know, this is number four for me, and I was real happy with two. Then they put a third one. I mean, it takes a lot of time. When you get another assignment, you've got staff out there working, and I've got great staff people that are going to follow up on that. They're real excited about this. But, you know, when I first came on, I had a lot of calls from people about the foster care system, about some DHS problems. I got involved in the Phoenix School, Roseburg School District problem with Senator Gelser. So I think probably the speaker and maybe the governor decided that this would be a good fit for me. But yeah, it's going to really tax me. There's not going to be any downtime for me, I can tell you that.
For lawmakers right now, obviously you're all busier than you would be in the off time normally.
This is a really weird time, because normally legislators, lawmakers, they're out, you know, basically campaigning, doing town halls, you know, all that stuff. And we are putting together a lot of town halls with Senator Hurd and with Representative Brock Smith. I'm seeing Zoom town halls. There's a lot of that stuff going on. But we have no, I mean, even if we were able to go out, we basically have no time. It's unbelievable how much more we're working right now than we have before. I'm happy to do it, but it's interesting. It's not just 8 hours a day. I mean, it's like 12 hours a day and sessions on the weekends. Happy to do that. I have so many happy people that, you know, have indicated a problem with, and most of them are unemployment or an employment division. I've gotten through, I can get through the right doors, and people are calling me back saying, thank you so much. And that's what makes the job, you know, for me, the best job I could ever have.
Are you seeing improvement in what the employment department has been able to do as they try to catch up with all the claims?
You know, I'm going to say no and yes. I'm still getting a lot of calls, but I'm seeing the governor's hired new people, you know, to take over the calling situation. But I still have people that, you know, they're still waiting for back pay. Our system's broken, and it's one of the first things we need to fix when we go back into the session in 2021.
And speaking of the economic impact to individuals, what are you seeing overall in terms of what you're hearing? You mentioned the governor talked about needing to look at the economic impact on the state coffers as well.
Well, we're beginning to get reports from the economic office regarding the impact of this stay-at-home order and our projected state funding. We should see kind of a formal forecast somewhere around the mid part of May, but the early projections are they're troubling. I mean, I'm seeing 20-30% down in revenue, and I've already seen the governor reach out to different agencies and say, we want you to cut your budget by 20% when we come back into session. And I'm not sure that we fully realize the impact of closing the economy. We've never done this in America, not through a government action. And we literally have stopped economic activity across the country. And we're starting to see the impacts of that sudden impact. And as we gain the majority of our revenue, in the state, there's really three areas that are impacted: the business and personal income tax that you and I pay. That's the largest source of revenue. It's about $30 billion. And then second, we have various fees and taxes like gas tax, and now we have cap tax and a whole bunch of stuff. And then third, we kind of use lottery funds to augment the budget. The challenge is when you stop the economy and all three of those revenue sources begin to dry up, businesses and people without jobs don't pay taxes. And the slower economy means less activity, such as driving, which means no more, you know, lower on the gas tax fees. And lottery is dependent on gaming, which is down. So at some point, we're going to see the economic closure will really impact our state revenues.
And how do you balance the need, from what the governor said, for agencies to be cutting their budgets looking ahead, when in some cases, at the same time, they're being asked to do more to reach out and help parts of Oregon's population?
Yeah, it's going to be very hard to make some of those decisions. I've been on calls with battered persons advocacy, some of the child advocacy centers, you know, like CASA and some of the other ones, and they're being hit really hard. I mean, they've lost all their fundraiser events, and you're going to see a huge increase in the amount of cases that come up in the near future once we start the economy, and they're being asked to cut their budgets 20%. It's going to be really, really tough. You've got suicide rates that are up. I think I saw suicide rates are up 20%. I mean, you can't cut those budgets and have them be effective.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. State Representative Gary Leaf with us. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Back in a minute, 1247 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Later today, KQEN Local Talk at 4. I'll be filling in for Lisa Platt, talking to County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, and also Laura Turpin from the Douglas Public Health Network. She's an epidemiologist. We'll talk more about that contact tracing and take a look at a number of areas regarding the response from public health to the situation. State Representative Gary Leaf with us right now. On Friday, the governor laid out more about her plans in a lengthy presentation. We've got the links up and a link to her video conference as well, posted at 541radio.com. If people want to look at the full picture of what she had to say and what she put out in print on Friday, the governor talked about some areas being potentially able to begin to reopen phase one starting on the 15th of the month. That would be about 11 days from now. Gary, any sense about whether Douglas County's numbers and data would look to put it in the potential for doing that at that time?
No, I don't really have that information. I think you'd probably have to talk to the county commissioners, because they're the ones that really have the, you know, more of the ability to open up those sectors. You know, I'm real concerned about, you know, a lot of the sectors that are being opened up at a highly reduced rate. I'm not sure that, you know, restaurants can really afford to do their social distancing like they're being required and still be able to, you know, make their payroll and put their food services in play. You know, they have to buy all their food again, you know, because they've been out for almost 2 months. So it's going to be a challenge.
Well, and I would imagine as well, a couple of the national programs we had over the weekend, I was listening to, and one of the questions too that comes up is, will people come back, or will people come back and maybe do as some of the facilities are already doing and just simply, you know, get takeout, et cetera?
You know, we've talked about that quite a bit, but we're looking forward to being able to sit down at a restaurant. But, you know, we were at Pete's Drive-In the other day, and the place was packed, and I drove by there a couple times, and they were packed all day. So, I mean, people are really wanting to go out, and they're wanting to be at restaurants. But you want warm food, too. You don't want to go in there, you know, bring it home, have it cold. You want to sit down and eat. So I think people will still really support that. I'm hearing from all kinds of people that's the first thing they're looking forward to do is actually go out and eat it at a restaurant.
What about some of the unintended consequences from all these actions that have taken place?
You know, the problem we're facing is that our state constitution sets out a calendar which will make these lowered revenue forecasts a formal part of the budgeting process. And really, once the state revenue forecast is released, like I talked about, all state agencies and various downline activities will need to assemble their budgets. By law, the lowered forecast will need to drive the budgeting process. And as a result, we're seeing early indications that the governor's office will expect cuts in services and government expenditures, just like I said. But once that happens, we'll see the economic slowdown budgeting into the next biennium. So it's not going to just be just a short time. This is going to have an effect for, you know, a couple of years. And that's why I indicated in our last interview, I really want the governor to spend more time on the economic impact rather than just the medical triage that we're dealing with right now.
When you look at things that are going to take a lot to work on, obviously the area of education is certainly one of them.
Well, I'll tell you, this is one of my biggest concerns is funding for the community college system. Our community colleges are key to economic recovery. You know, they provide an opportunity for people to upskill or achieve certificates for employment in the modern economy. And as you see different sectors may not open back up or, you know, businesses not open up, that's a key. Like the colleges were vital during the 2008 economic crisis. But the result of that economic shut-in is that our community colleges are looking at a draconian cuts in state funding. And that's they can't do that. You can't have that. I've been working with fellow lawmakers to approach the governor and guarantee community college funding at the current level, not based on enrollment, but at the current level. And I think, as we previously discussed, I believe we need a new funding model for colleges. We've got it. We can't depend on how we've done it in the past. And I'm really concerned that this government-created economic shutdown is about to result in horrible funding cuts in our education system. And that's not acceptable.
You know, yesterday I was glancing across a number of things on social media and saw a post from the University of Portland, where one of our daughters attended, and they were holding a virtual graduation ceremony yesterday. I didn't get a chance to see how that was done, but just thinking about what both for universities, colleges, and for high schools, how different this time that's normally a big celebration is going to be looking.
And, you know, I've been reaching out to the superintendent of the schools and talking with some of the teachers. And I think they've just done an outstanding job of trying to fill in all the holes as best they can. I put a video that the Roseburg School District made from their teachers. It's so heartwarming. I put that on my rep Facebook page and you know, to try and make up for that. And now you look at graduation. You know, they're going to do a compilation of all of the seniors, you know, putting together little short videos that they can put in one long one. I see where they're going to do a drive-through at the high school. These kids are going without proms, without sports events. You know, I can't imagine you know, what, how they're feeling right now. But I can tell you probably in about 20 years, they're going to be go, wow, we were the only, you know, the only graduating class in the world that had to go through this. So it might end up being pretty cool, but right now it's not.
About a minute or so left. Where do we go from here on this situation?
Well, I think it's really easy to declare an emergency and take the actions that we're currently living under, but it's challenging to come back and to restart the economy when it's safe. I think that if we continue in the path, our restart will be too slow, and I really believe that we need to fully release the economy by the middle of May in order to restart before we enter the fire season. Can you see that's coming right on the horizon? And rural Oregon is ready to go, and we need to be released from our economic restraints.
All right, State Representative Gary Leaf, another check-in on what's going on around Oregon from a legislative perspective. Gary, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, Kyle. Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.